On one of the trips from Topeka to MIT, I took a Greyhound bus. And by the way, I took it even though the airline price was the same in order to walk the talk. For me, it was a very primitive form of technology, and I kind of gritted my teeth, took the bus, and actually enjoyed it. But the reason I mention it is that partway through the country on this trip, a man with a big black hat got on the bus and solid black colored clothing, and I assumed he was Amish. The wheels started turning in the back of my head.
Yes.
And I sidled over to him the next time we had a rest stop and struck up a conversation. And before you know it, I was getting along great with this guy. I was very surprised. He was actually much friendlier than I was expecting. But I got more than I bargained for. This gentleman came from one of those rare Old Order Anabaptist sects, and I don't specify its name in the book because I'm trying to protect their identity.
Absolutely, it's not necessary.
I nickname them the Minimites, but anyway, a very rare group, one of a handful, that not only prohibits the use of electricity and motor vehicles, which most Amish groups do, but also did not allow the use of any motorized or automated equipment whatsoever. This is very different from most Amish groups. You may not realize this, but most Amish groups use a whole lot of machinery that's motorized.
No, you're right. I'm really not aware of the extent of their abstention or whatever.
It's gotten so prevalent that in Lancaster County, they can do with a substitute device almost everything that we can do with our electronic devices. They have figured out a way to hook up pressurized air hoses. And in their kitchen, they can use different appliances on pressurized air, which they plug into a socket. It's just not an electric socket. It's a pressurized air hose socket. So anyway, it's very extensive among the Amish to use chainsaws, pumps, stationary farming equipment. And for most Amish, the people in this group, the man that I met, were so far back in the past that it would be like for us, going back to what most Amish are like. So it was a very unusual group, and I was my heart went pitter-pat when I found out about this.
So he would be described then as sort of a radical Amish.
Yeah. This group, they would trace their origins back to the early 1500s.
Maybe a better word should have been fundamentalist.
Well, I wouldn't call him a fundamentalist. Not really, because I associate that with Bible-thumping Christians. And this group, they're very undemonstrative. I mean, they're not trying to go out and get converts. They're just trying to lead a simple and wholesome life.
No, I just meant fundamentalists within the mainstream structure of people of a like mind. Yeah.
They did go in their way of thinking. Certainly, they were going to the fundamentals and to the roots of their beliefs.
So I'm curious. He obviously, as he talked to you, he intrigued you in some way with this very strict lifestyle. And how did he do it? What did he say that, I don't know, drew you?
Well, I don't know if it was anything specific because it was a very sketchy conversation. But there's something about the twinkle in his eye and his somewhat jovial manner that made me think, wow, there's something intriguing here, and I want to find out more.
I want to know why this man is so happy. Everybody knows you should be frowning and concerned and up to the minute and hypertensive and all that, right?
Yes.
So probably his calm, good humor struck you as so unusual that you want to know where it came from.
Oh, no, definitely. Yeah, he did not give me the closed-off feeling at all. He seemed to be glad that I was interested in what they were doing. And that was another thing that made this group unusual when we got there, is that indeed, unlike a lot of Amish groups, they were open to outsiders, and they had several outsider families had come in and joined them.
Do you think the reason, I'm sure you investigated to some degree, that the other outside groups who were in, you know, with these folks had made the decision. Did it correlate with yours?
To some extent, yes, and to some extent, no. There had to be a very strong religious dimension for people to actually join the group. I mean, formally join. We never formally joined because, of course, we were there to look at the technology and how that affected their way of life, and only for a limited time were we there.
Or the lack of it would be more to the point, I guess.
The lack of it.
I mean, how simply do they honestly live? You said no machines, no computers, no TV, no telephones. How far did it go?
Well, they didn't have indoor plumbing. Now, that was one thing that I wasn't that interested in, that particular thing, because I didn't view that as an automated labor-saving device so much. But they didn't have indoor plumbing. They didn't have, as you say, telephones. They didn't have automobiles. They didn't have refrigerators. Of course, none of the other electric kitchen appliances.
Wow.
No vacuum cleaners.
Really?